This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, May 18th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. POTUS talks work requirements. GOP draws line on USDA funding. And House ag leaders eye specialty crop needs. Biden, could be a few new work rules. Work requirements remain in play in the debt ceiling negotiations between the White House and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. It's still not clear which program might be affected, but President Biden has once again signaled that he might go along with some changes. Biden yesterday appeared to rule out applying work requirements to Medicaid. I'm not going to accept any work requirements that's going to impact on medical health needs of people, he told reporters. He also said he wouldn't accept work rules that go much beyond what is already required. But then he added this, it's possible there could be a few, but not anything of consequence. House GOP sets marker on ag spending. Even as the debt ceiling talks with the Biden administration continue, House Republicans are rolling out appropriation bills that are revealing their spending priorities, and USDA comes out anything but well. The House Agriculture Appropriations Subcommittee votes today on a bill that would slash funding for USDA by one-third in fiscal 2024. The total doesn't count programs that are funded through the Farm Bill and other laws, including crop insurance, commodity programs, conservation assistance, SNAP, and child nutrition programs. As expected, the bill would restrict Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack's use of the Commodity Credit Corporation spending authority. The bill also would rescind $3.75 billion in clean energy spending that was part of the Inflation Reduction Act, plus $2 billion in loan forgiveness funding. Some $500 million in COVID relief would also be clawed back. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack offered this remark, quote, the proposal is pathetic, it's punitive, and it's petty. Now keep in mind, leaders of the House and Senate Ag Committees and staff have talked about some of these provisions as possible sources of funding for a new farm bill. The IRA funding for conservation programs is notably left untouched by the Ag Appropriations Bill. Now take note, two other FY24 spending bills also were released this week. The Homeland Security measure contains a comparatively small cut, while Military Construction Veterans Affairs would get a funding increase. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate of Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Among Edge's top priorities is milk pricing reform. Over its long history, the federal order system has aimed to serve farmers by ensuring the orderly marketing of fluid milk. But changing production and consumption patterns are rendering the system ineffective. Edge envisions changes that create flexibility, promote fairness, and strengthen the relationship between farmers and processors.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Torres Small nomination advances. The Senate Ag Committee has approved Xochitl Torres Small's nomination to be Deputy Ag Secretary. The committee action yesterday came just a week after her confirmation hearing. Torres Small, who is currently serving as Undersecretary for Rural Development, would replace Jewel Bronow in the department's number two post. Specialty crops getting House Ag focus. Expanding crop insurance options for fruits, vegetables, and other specialty crops is likely to be a priority for the House Ag Committee. The chairman of the subcommittee that handles commodity programs and crop insurance, Georgia Republican Austin Scott, told reporters yesterday that expanding crop insurance is a concern for Democrats on the committee, and he noted that he also has specialty crop producers in his own district who need insurance. Scott said, quote, it takes money, and so we're going to have some money to expand the options for those producers. By the way, the chairman of the full committee, Glenn G.T. Thompson, a Republican from Pennsylvania, told reporters his staff has been analyzing options for raising price loss coverage reference prices, but isn't ready to discuss the results. Thompson also mentioned automation research as a need for the labor-strapped specialty crop sector. UN Chief Lodge Grain Deal warns of outstanding issues. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres welcomed a deal announced yesterday that extends the Black Sea Grain Initiative by 2 months, but he also warned that, quote, outstanding issues remain to be solved. Russia has been threatening to shut down the deal since it was renewed in March, which continues to complain about Western impediments to its ability to export fertilizer. UN officials say they are working to remove those obstacles, including efforts to reopen an ammonia pipeline out of Russia. Guterres still wants to broaden the initiative, which has allowed Ukraine to export primarily corn and wheat from its ports in Odessa, despite the ongoing war. Why it's important? Well, the Black Sea Grain Initiative not only allows Ukraine to sell its grain to Europe, China, and other countries that can afford to buy them, but it also allows the UN World Food Program to acquire and donate Ukrainian wheat. Corn growers, we're ready to help reduce tailpipe emissions. A Kansas farmer used a House hearing yesterday to make the case that EPA's plan to slash tailpipe emissions ignores the part that ethanol should play. The agricultural and liquid fuels industry stand at the ready to assist in reducing air pollution. Unfortunately, current and proposed EPA rules prevent us from being a part of the solution and adversely impact low-income and rural citizens across the United States. That's the word of Josh Rowe, CEO of the Kansas Corn Growers Association, as he spoke to the House Oversight and Accountability Committee. While electric vehicles will play a vital role in achieving carbon neutrality, complementary alternatives such as biofuels have a role to play but are being pushed aside. Fourth poultry processor settles compensation case. George's Incorporated has agreed to pay $5.8 million in restitution to workers harmed by the company's sharing of compensation information with other poultry processors under an agreement reached with the Justice Department. The Department of Justice filed a proposed consent decree, final judgment in federal court in Maryland, to settle the conspiracy case against the poultry processor. Similar settlements already have been reached with processors Cargill, Sanderson Farms, and Wayne Farms, as well as with a data consultant, Weber, Ming, Saul and Company, and its president, G. Jonathan Ming. The proposed settlement allows DOJ's antitrust division to inspect Georgia's facilities and interview employees to ensure Georgia's compliance with the consent decree, according to DOJ. Well, here's today's He Said It. That may be an appropriate use for CRP for that land, since we're probably not going to be grazing livestock on there and not going to be raising crops on there. That House Ag Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson was asked by a reporter whether PFAS-contaminated land could be potentially enrolled in the Conservation Reserve Program. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, May 18th. Brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Daly.